Congressman Kelly Armstrong, good to have you back on News and Views.
Yeah, it's great. I just came out of a hearing trying to protect reporters at the federal level from shield laws like we have in most of the states, trying to figure out how we keep the government not spying on American citizens without our intelligence community going dark, and at the same time running for governor in North Dakota. So we'll be in Wahpeton, Leeds, all over this Devil's Lake this weekend, and back to D.C. again on Monday.
Well, see, there you go. And you know I'm in support of certainly all of that in terms of going around the state. I don't think your opponent has had the courage to speak to the public a lot. That gets very tough. But let me ask you this. I get from so many people how they're sick of your campaign and her campaign. They're sick of what they're seeing on air, the negative tone of it, and they're sick of the fact that you're basically running on behalf of Donald Trump. What's your answer to them?
Well, my answer is Donald Trump's going to be the president of the United States. North Dakota is Trump country. We're not running. We're running on his policies, and he's been great for the state of North Dakota, particularly when you look at what's going on right now, where this administration wants to ban mercury, which is uniquely problematic for coal-fired electricity, particularly lignite electricity, and wants to ban diesel farm trucks. So we're going to run on the issues that are important to North Dakota citizens, and we're going to keep doing it.
Okay, well, let me push back on energy. Have we ever pumped as much oil as we're doing right now as a country?
No, absolutely not. There. But the other
have we ever produced as much power as we are right now in terms of coal-fired plants?
And we need 20 times more within the next 10 years.
And we're producing
20 times more. This is the problem. The policies that are being put in place now are going to cause for significant reductions. You shut in gas, we can't keep drilling North Dakota oil wells because we have nowhere to move our gas and we have flaring regulations. You shut in the Gulf, and in 10 years, we are going to have a significant decline in oil and gas. You can talk about where we're at now, but a lot of this is legacy production. It's not only do you have to produce it now, you have to be able to produce it next year and the year after that. And the world needs two things. They need more calories and they need more energy. And we have the ability to do that. And we are being hamstrung from long-term investment projects because of this regulation.
Your party said it would end, period, when Biden got to be president. That's not true. It's expanded. Also, I have to ask you this, Congressman Armstrong. You're talking about oil industry and pumping less oil out of the ground. Does your family own significant interest in oil wells?
Absolutely. So do I.
There. Okay. I mean, let's get that out there. Let's talk about
it. Yeah, I've been in the industry since before I was born. I have never hidden from that.
Okay. Let's go back to this, Congressman Armstrong. Your campaign. You have run campaigns before that I have not, nor have the people around me criticized. They are this time. Why? Has Kelly Armstrong changed?
No, I haven't changed. But what I do with the two things I dislike the most in politics is inauthenticity and lack of accessibility. And if we're going to write, this isn't a comic book. This isn't an origin story. We are going to point out what we think is going on and how we're going to do it. And we're running positive ads. We go out and talk to people about everything. It's one part of our campaign, but it is part of campaigns in the 21st century. And we're going to play with the games, play with the rules as they are, not as we wish they were.
I'm also going to add this. You talked about what your agenda is to go to places. You know, it's pretty safe, pretty comfortable to go to some restaurant in Wahpeton where, you're not talking to people who might necessarily challenge you, or go on talk shows where they challenge you like you do. I want to give you credit for that. How do you go about challenging that where you know what, it's not negative campaigning to point out you're willing to do interviews like this?
Yeah, and it's not negative campaigning. I mean, you can call it contrast advertising. You can call it whatever you want. I wish we would have waited. I think all campaigns start too early, but we're not going to turn over the airways to somebody who's self-funded and can spend as much money as they want in this and just sit it out. That's just not how it works. I think if you want to be the governor of North Dakota and you want citizens to buy into what you're doing to be the governor of North Dakota, two things. One, you need to go out to talk to people, but more importantly, listen to them. Two, you've got to be willing to be challenged. And I mean, there is a lot of frustration with government government as a whole, whether it's local, state, or federal. And so anytime you walk into a room with more than 10 people, somebody's going to ask you a question or somebody's going to have a real frustration. And you have to be able to look them in the eye and give them an answer, even if it's the answer they don't want to hear. And then three is we want to make sure we're fighting for it's the best job in all of politics. We're going to go fight for it.
So you sought the endorsement from the Republican convention over the weekend. You won. You got that endorsement. You didn't have an opponent because she, Tammy Miller, didn't come to the Republican convention. But earlier today, I had Julie Fedorchuk on. I had Kirsten Baszler on. Neither one of those two individuals won. They didn't get the endorsement of the party. Are you going to support them? Are you going to support them, or are you going to support the individuals that were endorsed by your party?
I think, first of all, the endorsement process is important to me. I was a state party chair. I think the convention, if not just for being in front of 1,400 people, I think there are different ways, but the convention changes in every single race when people have said they're not going to go to the convention. And the North Dakota voters are going to decide who wins these elections on June 11th. And, you know, that's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to be. We're going to deal with that. With regards to the rest of it, I will just tell you, I've spent over a decade helping get other Republicans elected all across the state of North Dakota, and I'm going to work hard with whoever wins those elections, but this time I'm going to put my oxygen mask on and let other people help others.
So, you know, you say this time, but every other time we're talking about, listen, the convention matters. This is where we determine what and who we are as Republicans. I will support whoever the endorsed candidate is at the Republican Party. What's changed?
Well, I haven't always done that. I mean, prior to being the state party chairman, we were very supportive. I hadn't been involved in politics at that time, but we worked with Kevin Cramer. When I was the state party chair, I was obligated and privileged to follow by those rules. But, I mean, like I said, when either everybody honors the convention process or nobody honors the convention process, and I think the state party still matters. I think, first of all, the grassroots still matter. Second of all, the infrastructure still matters. But the entire nature of the game changes when you have one person in the entire process that is saying they're not going. And you could see that happening all throughout the convention.
It doesn't mean it's not important.
It's just different.
Should there still be a state convention?
Yes. I think there absolutely should be. I think it serves a purpose. I think one of the things I would really like to do as governor is get back engaged and communicate with districts and do all of those things that people want to see from their elected officials.
So then if that be the case, let's go over some of the resolutions that were pushed forward by your state convention. Do you believe public dollars should be used for funding private schools?
I think school choice is an issue that'll come up. Education is an issue that comes up. I think the first part to this is what you and I have talked about before. We have to deal with property tax. It's the number one issue on people's minds. And if you can lower the tax base to everybody, then you have it. But, I picked a running mate who was a public school teacher, was really frustrated with how that worked for her own kids. She ended up homeschooling her kids because they had dyslexia. And so one of the reasons I picked her is because she has some knowledge and base in this space that I've always cared deeply about, but it has not been where I have sat down and worked on.
So should public dollars be used to fund private schools?
I think there are ways in which, yeah, that absolutely can be part of the conversation.
Okay. Now, when it comes to issues, and yes, in vitro failed, so I'm not going to challenge you on that. But when it comes to some of these other issues, which is the complete ending of property tax, do you support that? That came out of the Republican convention.
I've said this before. I think this ballot measure, I think people have had a lot of frustration on it, but I have a lot of different concerns with it. I don't support the ballot measure.
Should gays be allowed to marry?
North Dakota has a ban on it. It's constitutional. It's in our government. I think marriage is a state's rights issue. But also at the same time, we have to honor and respect the law that happens since Obergefell's been.
Would you sign a law that allows allows gays to be married?
You can. It's a constitutional amendment.
My point is,
it's in
should
it
that
was
come
in the
to U- you? Well, you can challenge.
Well, no, I wouldn't sign it.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't sign it because there's a constitutional ban in our
okay. Would you sign a petition then to change the Constitution to allow gays to be married?
We would have to see what that looked like from the legislature. You have to have actual reasons from the actual text of those things. You know all of those things, but I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think the constitutional ban in North Dakota exists, but it doesn't change law in the United States at all.
Do you personally believe that gays should be allowed to be married? Do you personally believe it?
I don't have a huge issue with being able to figure out how you do, you know, civil unions and those types of things. I think that problem is existing. You have to be able to deal with custody and financial decisions and all of those different things, whether or not you think, I don't think that any church should be forced to do it. I don't think any of those things should have to happen, which is
Congressman, I don't believe any church should be forced to do it, but I can answer this quite simple. I believe that gays should be allowed to be married. And I've yet to get an answer from you on that, and you're about to be chief executive of the state of North Dakota.
Sure. I think the law as it is in this country right now is exactly where it is, and I think it is perfectly acceptable to be able to figure out financial decisions, medical decisions, child custody.
So you don't need it, and your answer is no?
No, the answer is yes. I mean, it's legal everywhere in the country right now because of a U.S. Supreme Court case. I think states should have control over marriage. I've always thought that. I think the Obergefell decision was wrongly decided, but it is the law of the land, and you have to afford protections for people who have followed the law.
Okay. No to aid to Ukraine. No to the United Nations. Resolution number 15. Do you support that?
I'm not a huge fan of the United Nations. I am a huge fan of NATO. I think we should defund UNRWA, particularly after what's gone on in Gaza. And with regards to Ukraine aid, I don't think the Senate bill is the answer. I don't think there's near enough accountability. There's far too much money that is for non-lethal aid. And we'll have to wait and see what Speaker Johnson brings out as a package to that before I could tell you I support it. 35% of the world's exportable wheat comes from the Ukraine. We have seen what happens when Russia takes over Europe's gas supply. I don't think the world wants to see what happens when Russia takes over Northern Africa's food supply. I think it's a real problem, and I think this administration, and quite frankly, far too many of my Republican colleagues like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham have done a terrible, terrible job of justifying why we should be this, and more importantly, protecting U.S. taxpayer dollars.
When we come back, you as governor, if you won the job, what would you do, and how would you do it differently than your opponent? More coming your way with Congressman Kelly Armstrong right after this. All right, I'm going to make sure this happens before I ask him the next question. Congressman Kelly Armstrong, candidate for governor of the great state of North Dakota. Congressman, how do people follow your campaign? Where do they go?
ArmstrongND.com. A long time ago, Joel, somebody bought all my domain names, which is one of those trick parties play. And so I get to keep the same one when I was a member of Congress, and now I won for governor. So they missed ArmstrongND. I like it. It's short and simple. You can find it.
Okay. Congressman, what separates you? If you were governor versus Tammy Miller was governor, what would be the big difference?
Well, I think I have 12 years of a conservative record, both in the state Senate and in the U.S. House. So I think that's the first thing. I have proven I've done all of those things. Two, I am going to be the most accessible governor candidate in this race. And hopefully, with all due respect to all of my friends who have served in that position, the most accessible governor that North Dakota has ever had. Everybody makes a lot of promises like that. And then I think third, I understand the pressures that we're facing from D.C. I have great relationships with the legislature, and I have great relationships with community leaders and citizens all across the state. So when you talk about investment and transparency in the legacy fund and how we get these dollars working back for North Dakota, it's not just Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, Minot, Dickinson, Williston. It's all of those communities in between. And there are real structural disadvantages the smaller your community is to, in order to have some of North Dakota taxpayers' dollars working for helping you sustain and actually grow that community.
We have a measure out there that eliminates property taxes. If property taxes were eliminated, that money would have to be made up somewhere. If your governor are sitting on $10 billion. Is there a way to do both? Is there a way to reduce property taxes by finally putting the legacy fund to work? And if so, will you focus on it as governor?
Yes, I think, but I also think you have to talk about state investment board, community bankers. You know, when COVID hit and all of those things, there was no secret why North Dakota was either the number one or two state in the country to maximize the PPP and the flexibility programs. It was because of our community banks and because of the relationship they have with their constituents. And so the first way you can do this by growing the legacy fund, growing the tax base, and reducing the tax burden on everybody is engaging the people who know what has to happen in your communities in a meaningful way and figuring out how you bring 12 good paying jobs, which is 24 families, to a community like Horace or like Candu or like Ray, North Dakota, because we have a lot of opportunities to do that. And I think we don't look at those enough.
Will you vote for the measure to eliminate property taxes?
No, and for two reasons. One, because I don't think there's any indication of what happens with the Century Code if that happens. You know, cost share is already a problem. You'd have, if that measure passes, the first legislative session is going to be rewriting 30% of the code. But I understand why. Two other things. One, a lot of out-of-state property owners that don't do anything else in the North Dakota economy that are going to get a huge windfall for that. And three, as you said earlier, people still want law enforcement. They still want emergency services. They still want schools. I think Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, and Fargo do okay every 2 years at the legislative session. I'm really, really concerned to what happens to our small communities across the state if they have to come every 2 years to Bismarck to beg for their supper.
Congressman, one more time, if people want to follow your campaign, where do they go?
ArmstrongND.com, please do, and then check us out. We're going to be all over the state. We don't screen anybody. Please come if you want to ask an easy question. If you want to ask a tough question, we'll take them all.
Congressman, always good to talk to you. Always good to have this debate.
Thanks, Joel.
You bet.